Well, you're about to hear an incredible story. You make up your own mind. It is truly remarkable. In a moment, we will be talking about prepare for the landings. Michael Edlejon will be our first guest. Later next hour, his co-author, Aurora Light, will join us with an equally remarkable story. That's next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. Let me tell you a little bit about Michael Edlejon. Trained in the Edgar Cayce method of channeling at a very young age. But even from the time of his birth, Michael was born without what is called the cosmic amnesia veils. So he actually consciously remembers his soul's intergalactic origins. While growing up in Southern California, he experienced a very life-threatening emergency. And during this event, Michael says that he was physically beamed aboard a higher dimensional light ship where he encountered spiritually evolved angelic ETs. Benevolent human appearing beings not only rescued him, but apparently verified his early memories, as well as how mass planetary divine intervention is scheduled to occur. You're going to hear some remarkable things tonight on Coast to Coast. Here's Michael. Michael, how are you?
Very good. How are you, George?
Good. Good to have you with us. And next hour, we'll bring in Aurora, your co-author, and talk about these incredible stories. First of all, tell me a little bit more about you beyond just a bio.
Well, as this is something that I've been aware of from the time I was born. You know, most people who are what I call volunteers in Earth embodiment are usually born with term cosmic amnesia veils. But for myself, I actually have conscious memory prior to coming in, being on the Merkaba Federation light ships, as referred to them, and in the higher councils. I actually remember choosing my Earth parents because of their holistic and metaphysical background. And my parents were very much followers of the famous channel Edgar Cayce, as well as being very holistic and many of the things, so I didn't have all of the kind of numbing and dumbing influences that would take away some of that awareness. So at a very early age, I began to have interactions with these very human-appearing ETs and ascended beings of light. And because of this, I started going to altered states and talking in my sleep. And my father, who was a professional stage hypnotist who had studied the life of Edgar Cayce, began to interpret that he could train me as Edgar Cayce was actually trained, in the sense that Edgar Cayce, part of the story that a lot of people don't know, is he went to a psychiatrist hypnotist because he had some personal problems, and the hypnotist trained him, allowed him to get into that state, and then he learned to induce that state in himself. So at a very early age, my father recognized some of my attunement, and at by 15, I was doing these more karmic kinds of readings, and later it became more transformational. As those who have a chance to read the book, Prepare for the Landings, I go quite in depth about this whole process.
You know, when I was younger, I used to read a lot of books on Edgar Cayce, Michael, and I couldn't put him down. I mean, everything about this guy, for me, was just fascinating, and I have to assume it was the same for you.
Well, yes. I mean, I wasn't that myself involved in it. My parents were involved in studying it, but as I grew older and started studying his life and thought it was pretty remarkable. And so I thought that it was very interesting, his life readings. And as I said in the beginning, the readings that I did were very similar to Cayce's, in that were termed more karmic. There was past Earth lives. It had to do with certain present Earth karmic challenges, situations. But I always knew I was supposed to be a cosmic telephone line and that higher cosmic masters would channel through me. Now, one of the incidents that occurred at a very early age, and this was actually after my first encounter that you referred to, when I was actually experienced falling off a pier in Oceanside, California, and in which I was physically taken on board at that time, I was actually told while during this experience that I would later come in contact with a being known as Ashtar. And this is a very important experience because it kind of set the stage for later experiences of intervention that I personally encountered myself that was a prelude to more mass planetary divine intervention. And that incident was extremely important because of the nuclear challenge that this planet faced. When I was 9 years old, sitting in front of TV watching President Kennedy's news conference on the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Ashtar, which was an old friend, I remember hanging out with him in the councils. I mean, as real as people I encounter down here, in some ways more important because of the interactions. And I was watching this, and I'm 9 years old, but he pops into the room. Now, he's etheric. That is, no one else could see him, but I could see him. but he seemed more real to me than some of the mundane people that I saw walking around Earth. And he's standing there, and he starts talking to me telepathically, and he says, "We're not going to allow nuclear war because it's against Federation policy."
That's interesting.
Now, that was a very important, empowering, very powerful statement. He also told me that they were going to start coming down over military bases, shutting down their high-tech equipment, their missiles, as a benevolent show of force, and also talked about how the officials would use the nuclear thing as a tactic of fear, hold it over our heads, as something that, quote, we couldn't solve, even though the officials would know the truth because of the benevolent show of force. Well, of course, in recent years, such as the national press conference 3 months ago and even a few years before that, where they came down and retired military personnel talking about all of their cases of the UFOs coming down over the military bases and shutting down their missiles and so on.
Well, that's true. We're going to have one heck of a coast-to-coast ride with you tonight, Michael. A lot of people will say this could be happening. Some will say maybe not. We'll let everybody make up their own minds when they hear you and later Aurora talk about her episodes as well. Now, listen, Connor, when you said you fell off the pier, what happened? You fell into the water? You got?
Well, yes. On a physical level, to others, nothing unusual had happened. But for me, on a very physical, personal level, I had gotten myself up into a dangerous position on the railing. In fact, I found out years later that many kids in the area kind of challenged each other, kind of like a little peer group kind of thing of challenging, see somebody would take a risk. And I got involved in it. I was only 6 years old, but I got up on the railing, and as I often share to people, one moment it, perhaps I thought it was cute, and I was taking a little risk. Next moment, as my foot slipped off the side, and that moment of terror, as I started to fall into the ocean. One moment I'm starting to fall, and next moment, literally, I found myself physically on board this craft that I remember being on prior to taking Earth embodiment. Now, some people might say, well, couldn't have been just my imagination that was creating this in that moment. No, this was a dramatic shift from this moment of horrendous terror, a horrible fall I was starting to go through, and next moment I'm in this incredibly wonderful, and I have some people laugh and ask me, what was it like finding myself suddenly among these very human-appearing beings that had they been dressed in Earth clothes, walking the streets of Earth, you would have thought they were the average good-looking person. But it was the incredible love, it was the incredible sense of having known them, being connected with them, beings that I remember saying goodbye to. Here I am back physically with them. Now, they were dressed in silver blue metallic suits, but the incredible sense of connection with them, of knowing them, and as I said, saying goodbye to them, and now being with them. And what's significant about this moment, it wasn't that I was lucky to have this wonderful, incredible encounter. It was the fact that I remember specifically in the Council, in the Federation of Light, discussing that if I got into any kind of physical danger, as well as the rest of the volunteers, in fact, if you go to my website, channelforthemasters.com, there's a list of NASA star people characteristics that Brett Steiger actually helped to compile, and I find that people who are drawn to this reality have a lot of these characteristics because we bring an energy with us that into human embodiment that affects our DNA, RNA, genetic code. So for me, these beings were beings that were what I would call part of our extended cosmic family. And this was a prelude because while on board the craft, they specifically reminded me telepathically about the fact that divine intervention was going to happen in the future. They wanted to tell me then again things that we had discussed prior to coming in because it also not only verified the memories I had carried with me, it verified a promise of protection that the Federation Light would instigate eventually on a mass level because based on personal experiences that I had gone through. And at my website, prepareforthelandings.com, this book that I've compiled after many, many years, knowing one day I would publish a book and prepare humanity, it's really wonderful to finally get it out and make it available so that other people can be more prepared for the experience coming up.
When you fell, Michael, then, were you teleported? Were you beamed? How did they grab you?
They teleported me. They put a beam on me, as I understood it, and literally in less than a split second, I find myself on this higher level. Now, on an Earth level, and this is what I would call a time-space warp for better, any back, lack of better terms, no one on the Earth plane knew I had experienced this because when they took me up and I was there for a period of time, time doesn't exist as we think of this on a higher dimension, but for a period of time, I interacted with these beings. They took away most of my trauma, Not all of it, because I still had to face some responsibility for what I had got myself into. But they took away the most of it that was very traumatic, and it can shut you down, so I could deal with it a lot more effectively.
When they brought you back, where did they bring you?
They brought me back that same exact instant as the moment they had taken me up. So to anyone on the earth level, I just continued to fall, and I hit the ocean. But they had put me in kind of a detached state, so it wasn't so severe. And it was interesting because years later, I actually encountered a man, one of the many people throughout many of my events, who I had had a distinct impression somebody had jumped off the pier. And this man ran up to me and said, oh, my God, he was the one who had jumped off the pier and helped me get out of the water. And it was very interesting that for that event to occur later, which was a verification of part of that memory. And also two other people that I talked to years later, they told me they remember being on the same ship I was on. Now, I don't remember them because I was, you know, focusing on the beings around me. But they remember seeing me in what we call the medical section, for lack of better terms. Two different people who were young as children also aboard the ship.
How do we know you're not a hybrid? How do you know you're not one?
A hybrid?
Yeah.
I guess I'm not.
How do we know you're not a genetically altered human ET?
Well, all I can tell you is my understanding, my memory is I came actually remember, in a sense, beaming down into my mother's womb. Now, that may sound kind of strange, but I remember leaving what I call an immortal light body in storage. When we come as volunteers in Earth embodiment, we leave this higher body, this higher density body, and we're born in the normal way, and unlike the grays and all that negative abduction stuff. This is based on divine principle, part of a divine plan to help the other, those what I call laggards stuck on the wheel of karma, people who've been here lifetime after lifetime. And I know there's a lot of different genetic manipulation that certain entities like the Greys have been involved in, but they're not members of the Federation. Those who come on missions here are very respectful for the divine principles. But we have come on missions to be here, live here, be as much like everyone else, and fulfill these missions that we're on. And that's why I was trained in the Edgar Cayce method, so I could eventually do these transformational channel readings so I could tune other volunteers into their mission as well.
Now, you are a direct voice channel. Tell me how that works for you.
Well, when I, now, originally in the Edgar Cayce tradition, I would go into a total trance. I didn't remember anything. But the feedback I got from many people was that was very insightful. It gave them insights about some of their present physical problems. But these readings were more, as I said, karmic in nature. When they took me on board the ship in 79, this was my second encounter in 1979, about 20 years later, and this was under a very life-threatening situation. And I can tell you that at that time, one of my missions has been to expose government cover-ups, to expose a lot of the stuff that the what I call the cabal has been involved in, expressing technologies, anything would emancipate us and liberate us from certain people who have had all the power. And I've experienced a lot of interference. I've been attacked when I was younger, even by what I call metaphysical demonic energies, to try to take me out because of my awareness. I knew why I was here consciously, so I was a much more of a threat. And then as I got older, I started experiencing an interference from military government forces. And I have met many former black op covert agents involved in things such as psychic assassination, all kinds of those kinds of things. And I experienced a direct attack in 1979 in which I did briefly die. And I was in Agoura, California at the time. And I woke up later on the ship. I'm trying to make it brief because of the time frame here. I go a lot in depth in the book about this. And I woke up and I knew they were bringing them back to life. There were four beings in blue metallic suits standing around me, totally human appearing. And for a period of time, they put the life force back in my body. Now, at that point, they did alter in a very positive way my DNA RNA so I wouldn't be vulnerable to this term psychic assassination type attempt on my life, fill up an immunity. And they also told me on board the ship, a being named Corton, who I met, who in the Ashtar Command is a communication specialist. He told me from then on, the channelings that I would then do would be for others like myself, volunteers in Earth embodiment. He told me I was going to come upon this list of characteristics that would help to physiologically identify us. Well, 2 months later, in the old East-West Journal, that old metaphysical holistic publication, Brad Steiger had just released some of this information on the Star People research. I looked at the list, and I thought, oh, my God, I almost everyone on the list, which really didn't surprise me. Well, sure enough, from then on, the people who contacted me, that were drawn to me, were others like myself, and I found they had a lot of these characteristics in common. And in my book, Prepare for the Landings, I describe that in a chapter, giving all my insights and some of the research that has gone up to that point to give people some insights about it.
Tell me again about the next time you were contacted after this initial episode.
Well, you're talking about the physical contact in 79.
Right.
Was quite an interesting experience because, again, on board, just like at 6 years of age in 59, one of the things that Corton, who I interact with primarily aboard the craft, and when he connected with me, I remembered interacting with him in the councils. He's a communication specialist. When I do my channeling classes, and they are actually at prepareforthelandings.com, there's a couple DVDs that I've been distributing. One of them is called Dynamics of Cosmic Telepathy, and it's also based on a book that an earlier channel named Tuella had published called Dynamics of Cosmic Telepathy, which teaches you how to develop a clear channeling ability. Because technically, we're all channeling life forces, learning to interpret the signal. So in my channeling classes, Corton overshadows it, in a sense, and makes sure that people can become more attuned, because the Elohim are using consciousness technologies. When I do these transformational readings, they actually have an energy beam on me from the Merkaba light ship, and they're downloading these termed higher light encodements placed on the tape, the audio tape. So when you play the tape back, the interesting thing is, it helps to activate the DNA RNA and cause some pretty powerful transformations in people's lives. The feedback that I get from many of my clients and different people is pretty, what they say is phenomenal. After all these years, I'm still pretty blown away by some of the things that people experience based on these experiences.
Now, all right, after this initial contact, first was 59, second was 1970.
79, those two physical encounters are the only ones I've had.
Okay.
And I met a few incognito beings on Earth. As I have traveled around the last 20, 25 years, 30 years, I've met a few of them, and one of those incidents has to do with the evacuation, what I was actually told. If you read the book, George,
yes.
It has an incident that happened in 1981 at Squaw Peak Park in Phoenix, Arizona.
Okay, that's right. Now, at what point during this span did you talk to your friends, your family, and say, hey, these things are happening to me?
Well, I have to say this, I had over a period of time a little bit of falling out. You know, we, as volunteers, being born into Earth biological families, I think a lot of people can relate to this out there. You know, there are sometimes dysfunctional Earth patterns that come up, and we deal with the best we can, but sometimes that causes a little falling out, and, you know, a little petty stuff happens. And I actually kind of had a little falling out because of some stuff that misunderstanding communications. And I actually didn't see my Earth mother until just recently. Now, I just might as well mention this, that my father, named Paul Block, died in a gyrocopter crash a few months ago flying out of Cave Junction Airport here in Oregon.
Oh, my.
And
sorry.
I found this out when my brother, I hadn't talked for many years, called me up suddenly out of the blue. That's why I'm up here in Southern Oregon on a book signing tour. I'm actually set up a couple events here I'm going to be doing, which I can actually mention. If anybody's in Southern Oregon that would like to attend, I can let you know about it. But I hadn't seen my mother for 30 years, and I had been very quiet as a child. I didn't, other than the fact that my parents were a little more open, allowing some Earth metaphysical things. Of course, I was coming in with galactic metaphysics. So there was a little bit of communication barrier there, even though most people would say they were pretty evolved compared to most Earth parents. I had all this other memory, and I couldn't help but compare other beings that I had interacted with them. I tried to, you know, be a good child, but I was constantly getting in trouble at school when I would challenge the teachers, be sent to the principal's office, because to me, the teacher was teaching us half and partial truth. So I had an unusual upbringing, and as I said, on some personal levels, I was kind of had my own mind up about what I was going to be doing. So it's not till recently that I had a chance to kind of share. My mother actually read my book for the first time, and as I said, they didn't know at 6 years of age I actually had this experience. And
You kept that to yourself. We'll talk more when we come back. Prepare for the landings. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. George Norrie with you. Michael Elizon, our special guest. Prepare for the landings, his work. We're going to get into some of the incredible things that he learned about chemtrails, Planet X, Armageddon, perhaps. But I'm trying to set the stage so you know a little bit more about Michael and what he went through. Michael, you say you are a star person. Tell me more about that.
Well, that term, star person, which was related to Brad Steiger's research with some NASA engineers and scientists, correlated and verified my own awareness, because as I mentioned earlier, when I taken aboard the ship in 79, and being told by this being Corton, who is a major member of the Ashtar-Kamen, the Federation of Light, and telling me that I was going to come upon this list of characteristics, and then 2 months later, after this encounter, finding this list in the old East-West Journal and noting that I had almost everyone on the list, because the theory, which to me is more than a theory, is that when I took Earth embodiment, because I retained conscious memory, physiologically, that higher energy, the higher consciousness that I was able to retain on the physical level affected my DNA, RNA, genetic code, and I took on these patterns. And depending how much other star people, other volunteers, light workers, indigos, walk-ins, different terms of this, have been able to retain when they come into Earth embodiment, is how many of those characteristics the person ends up having. And so the list is something that I find a lot of people find very fascinating when they look at it and go, oh, my God, I do have that, and I have that. And people realize the significance that that is a physical, to me, evidence of their soul being from a higher world of the Federation of Light.
Would we be in shock over the amount of people that might be star people and who they might be?
I don't think so. My perception through the research I've been involved in and meeting lots of people through the years, through workshops and seminars and stuff, and people are drawn to this, I would say about 25% of the world's population minimum are souls directly off the ships, and then there is a large group of humanity that might have come here originally. I think everybody on Earth, and technically millions and billions of years ago, were from somewhere else. It's just that there are some of us more immediately, more directly from off the ships, and we retain a little more of that energy pattern. And I think right now we're going through a major energy shift. In fact, tonight, one of the significant things, and I got some feedback from others, that being known as Lord Metatron is anchoring what some call the Platinum Ray during this full moon tonight. It's actually been coming in for a while, but it's one of the many new frequencies, new cosmic frequencies hitting the planet that's never been here before, which is going to cause a major shift in the timeline. It's like a new timeline being created, and everybody's starting to awaken. All over the planet right now, there's a huge shift, which is also exposing the cabal, waking everybody up to their mission and purpose.
Yeah, I think so too, Michael. I can feel that. It's been happening over the last couple of years, but it's really happening now. Here it rolls. You had said that, you know, they're human looking. Do they look like us, or do we look like them?
Well, we, quote, the human race was, and through my communications and contact, it's been very clearly shown, and I have memory going back ages of time, that the human race, Earth human, was genetically seeded originally by the Elohim, human appearing higher beings who created human bodies so that these less advanced souls could progress and evolve at their own rate. Later on, unfortunately, beings like the Draconians and Anaki and other came in and infiltrated the Elohim colonies, shut down 10 of our original 12 strands, and really messed things up. Now, finally, after all these ages, many of the whole planet's about to graduate. It's going through an ascension process so that all of the negative or imbalanced elements are going to be basically transmuted. And I think the next 2 years we're going to see the cabal being fully exposed. This is the if things keep going the way things are energetically, my sources have told me that there's been numerous, after 9/11 being a wake-up call, there's been numerous false flag events that actually have been neutralized by the Federation of Light that weren't allowed to play out, or we'd be in many times worse mess than we are right now.
Michael, the situation, and we're going to get into some of these events that are going on. I've always heard that they can't get involved. They can't, you know, put their hands on helping us or saving us. It sounds like that might not be the case.
Well, yes and no. There has always been laws of non-interference in the Federation of Light, but there are some exceptions. And those exceptions are actually, there's about four of those. There was originally three. One of those is if a planet's a threat to itself, that is, through nuclear war, through destruction, it would affect the other planets because of blowing up, by being affected in a negative way. A second one is if planets are a threat to other worlds. And there's a lot of evidence now because of people like Gary McKinnon, who confirmed what Ashtar and other beings have told me years ago, that the government back-engineered black op technologies. There's a little anti-gravity fleet flying around up there. If you look through night vision goggles, you can actually see some so-called battles where the cabal ships, the anti-gravity ships, are actually trying to fire on the Federation light ships that are in guardian action around the planet, trying to make this out to be an invasion when it's really intervention. And if a planet is not only Also, if a planet's holding up the evolution of other planets at the ends of all these cycles, then they are mandated to intervene and help the planet go through this transition, hence the need for evacuation and divine intervention.
The ability of human beings at this point to glance into the future, to change their own destiny, seems to be growing as well. Are they sharing that with us? Are we getting that from them?
Well, yes. My perception is that, and this is kind of a theory, but it's more than a theory, that there is a group of those of us, and George, you could be part of this group too, that our oversoul future self has come back, in a sense, from the future. This is a crude way I explain it, into impacting the past-present timeline, that we're actually creating a new timeline overlapping the old timeline. So a lot of the plans of the cabal, like martial law and all these other things, are not occurring because there's so many of us whose consciousness from the future has merged back and are altering the future outcome. That's why instead of being a third of humanity surviving, at least two-thirds to three-quarters in this new vibration, new timeline, are going to survive and go into the golden age. But there's a lot of cleansing, a lot of cleanup that's going to happen over the next couple of years as we approach 2012. And because of the return of Nibiru, Wormwood, the Federation is poised right now. If need to evacuate, for that reason, they will. But I also see this, as I describe in the book, Prepare for the Landings, as a R&R situation for many of us that came here. I remember being in the councils, this being discussed, that we would promise that would be lifted up in a series of ways rather than just one to make sure every soul is accounted for. This is what I describe in depth at Prepare for the Landings.
All right. How many different kinds of extraterrestrials are out there, Michael? We've heard about the Greys, the Reptilians, the Nordiques. What's out
there? Well, there's quite a few, but one of the largest groups that has been highly suppressed, and I find this in the UFO community, there's been an agenda for years when I've gone to a lot of these conferences. I believe very strongly that people like George Adamski, George Van Tassel, Hardmenger, these original pioneers, they were the ones who had authentic contacts with human-appearing ETs, and then the UFO community formed and had a psychops of debunking, ridiculing, suppressing these more empowering, uplifting experiences while they stuffed the grays down our throats, talked about strange, mysterious lights in the sky, and always say everything is fraud or hoax. I think the Billy Myers contact case really brought it into perspective. Here was a case, well-documented, crystal metal samples, people like Marcel Vogel analyzed, and yet MUFON and a lot of groups still wanted to debunk it. I think if it had been an abduction case rather than human-appearing ETs, they would have been yelling from the rooftops to get the information out. I think there was a massive agenda and bias against anything empowering and uplifting that gives us hope, that helps empower us, prepares us for the time that's coming ahead. And this has been a lot of things that I've observed through the years. It's pretty clear there was an agenda.
Well, maybe so. I know it drives Michael Horn crazy when organized groups, ufologists, attack the Billy Meyer case.
Oh, definitely.
And
it's based on and if you go back and study the life of George Adamski, he had some of the very same things that Billy Myers had, except he wasn't able to connect with people who were able, didn't have as much of a bias because of people like Marcel Vogel and other researchers like Wendell Stevens, who recently passed away, that was very supportive to me. In fact, Wendell used to bring other experiencers to get readings from me, channelings, and through those experiences, I was able, or the beings coming through me, verify a lot of things that he was able to document in his research. So he felt he was very supportive to Aurora Light and I, my co-author of our book, and checked it out. And so he felt that I was very right on. And so I had some support from people like him. But most of the people in the UFO community were very antagonistic because we're talking about human appearing entities and exposing the cover-up on that.
You had these two encounters and 59 and 79. Have you had any since?
Not any physical things except that a contact that I share in the book of an ET walking up to me at Squaw Peak Park in 1981 incognito. Mm-hmm. Briefly, this being, I remember being in the councils where I was told one day while I was on Earth, having grown up, and that a being would walk up to me on the streets of Earth and verify in physical presence. As I share in the book, Prepare for the Landings, that this being walked up to me while I was involved in a little spontaneous lecture, and he starts telepathically communicating to me, verifying about certain things, and it was very interesting because it was verifying what I had been told in both aboard the ship's information and other channelings. And he told me, Michael, this was a physical confirmation for everything we've channeled through to you, and he told me about meeting other channels, and later I'm in panic with Tawella, who is a very clear channel, who published a book called Project World Evacuation, which I refer to in my book, because it's still very relevant material. but I took it a step further because of other insights that I felt I needed to update the information with. But it was just more substantiation and verification.
Mike, a lot of people out there believe in the UFO community that government will eventually disclose. I have gone on record saying I don't think they will. If we get this information, it'll come from solid whistleblowers. It'll get leaked out that way, but it's not going to be an official government announcement. What do you think?
I'm not holding my breath because the way I see bureaucracies and red tape, and I think the cabal has an vested interest to keep the status quo. I think there's a lot of researchers who sincerely do believe this, but I believe we have to have divine intervention, open contact massively to force the officials to have to disclose. Now, on the other hand, we have to be discerning and use our cognitive deductive reasoning to know that they want to create a false flag and try to make it out to be an invasion when these beings do come in. So we need to be discerning, but also know that if we don't have outside help, we can't solve Earth problems or Earth conditions. And inherently imbalanced, it'll be history keep repeating itself. And I think we're getting close right now, the masters tell me, to a certain percentage of Earth humanity, that when that percentage is reached within, I think, in the next 2 years, they will then be mandated to openly appear. My book, Prepare for the Landings, does really help. I kind of refer to it as the kind of the boarding pass because it gives people conscious understanding. Most people's feedback from the book is it verifies what they feel but gives a lot more detail, things they've felt, been feeling for many, many years, fellow star people, volunteers, light workers.
Well, you call it Prepare for the Landings. So to me, that sounds like here they come. What does it mean?
Well, definitely. This is a prelude. This book is really meant to prepare humanity on a mass level.
As long as it doesn't say to serve man. Remember that?
Twilight Zone episode, right? It was a recipe book. I understand.
Classic.
Right. But this book is a very serious presentation, a prelude to prepare humanity in detail of what they've been planning for a long time. In contacting other contacts using channels, they get very much the same information. Maybe be little variances of opinion exactly how, but people like Twell and others that I've encountered through the years got very much the same information that instead of one emergency type, one deal, it would be a series of waves to help prepare humanity over a period of time. Others experience it, come back, and others would then observe it and then be prepared physiologically as well.
What timetable are we talking about, Michael?
Well, that's the $64 million question, exactly when. And as I share in the book, there's kind of like when it says biblically that no one knows exactly our time of the day. I think it's kind of cosmically top secret because if one announces ahead of time that they're going to come down in an open way, I think the cabal at this point would try to interfere with it, try to turn it into an invasion scenario. I think they're waiting till enough energy shift occurs, enough of the population is awake, that they can make a mass appearance when there's enough of a percentage of humanity to be able to ground the light and bring in the energies that will help to make it a smooth transition. And that's one reason they've been waiting all these years to reach this point, which is just about upon us in the next 2 years. I believe, I don't know, but it looks like we're going in that direction.
This government secrecy, are they afraid? Is that one of the reasons they're not telling us? Is it so horrendous? I think the power elite
are afraid of losing your power. Not that we can't handle the truth. They always say, well, we can't handle it. No, they can't handle their loss of power because once they make their appearance, there's no turning back. Where at that point, all of the truth is out in the bag. Everything is out in the open, and all levels of society will be forced to change to a more constructive, benevolent, a society that uplifts and respects the sacred principles, respects Mother Earth, and respects all of the things. And the higher forces have numerous solutions to every problem we've ever faced. And they're not coming in to do it for us. They're coming in to help us help ourselves. I have great faith in humanity, despite how the draconians use mind control and genetic manipulation to try to program us to be warlike. Once you remove those forces, get them out of the way, and humanity has a chance to decide with clear options, and the higher forces make those options clear, I believe that most of humanity, despite a few ones like Rothschild and some of these others, most of humanity will definitely head toward a solution that's definitely more user-friendly than what we've been struggling with up to now.
Amazing. Well, let's get into, if we can, next hour with Aurora as well, some of these incredible things you have found out, both through channeling and otherwise. Take a quick minute, if you would. Tell me about Aurora Light, and we'll do the intros when she comes back at the top of the hour, Michael, but tell us about your co-author.
Well, she's been involved. She had her encounters in Detroit, Michigan, while I had mine in California, and she was kind of brought up in a very, in her experiences at a, as a young child, and when she got older, and then considerably older, and when I connected with her in 1981, and she shared her experiences, I was able to give her a little insight because of, like, that experience I had at 6 years of age. She had some pretty phenomenal experiences and also developed as a channel and an intuitive and what we'd call a muse that she helps to help people, you know, get their mission together, their life in order and rejuvenation, so that when I do my transformational channel readings to help people understand their mission, she then helps people get into a more healthier state so while they're still here on Earth, they can fulfill their mission in a higher quality kind of way. But her experience has verified that there were definitely extraterrestrial beings coming here to help us, to intervene ultimately, and her experiences kind of speak for themselves. It verifies also some things that I've been aware of for many, many years that I received in channeling, and she had her verification, and there was a lot of interesting things that she went through to give her confirmation of this reality.
Okay, well, I look forward to getting into some of these specifics of ETs, Planet X, chemtrails, and other things that you found out about. Prepare for the landings. His websites, Michael's websites, are all linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Those of you who don't have a computer and you're interested in this work, and it's a fantastic read, there is a toll-free number of 800-422-0808. I'll give that to you a little bit later on tonight as well. We'll be back in a moment with Michael and Aurora Light as we talk about prepare for the landings.